are possible now that you're near.
Amen. If we remain standing and open our Bibles to Romans chapter 12, and we'll read again from, not again, but we'll read from verse 18 this morning. And beginning at verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we hear these words of peace where you say that if it be possible that we would live at peace with all men. And Father, we recognize the day in which we live where there's talks of war and rumors of war. And we realize, Lord, that there is no peace which man understands, but the peace which you alone can give, that peace which passes all understanding. And so, Father, we just pray that you would help us as we would study thy word this morning. And we pray your blessings upon it. And we pray your peace would fill every heart in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I began to, or actually last night as we studied to present this message, I actually had some thoughts here, but I looked upon this, you know, these words of the Apostle Paul. They sure resound in our ears this morning as the world is preparing for war this coming week. In fact, tomorrow, being the 17th of March, is the date which the Bush administration has given to Saddam Hussein to either step down or comply with the UN resolution, or basically will attack. There'll be war. And isn't it a strange thing that we've given this sad man, Saddam, insane Hussein, an ultimatum that has to do with the date of March 17th to step down or war begins? Because 40 years ago, on the 17th, to the day, the Lord Jesus Christ, through his prophet William Branham, the prophet for this age, preached the opening of those seven seals. It was March 17th, 1963, that the series began. And do you know what message he preached to begin the opening of the seals on the evening of the 17th? It was a message called The Breach. And you know that in your Bible, God speaks of a breach that he had with Israel, his elect. And he also, in the same scripture, speaks of a 40-year period of probation for Israel for rejecting the promises of God. If you turn with me to Numbers 14, and we'll read from verse 33. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. And after the number of the days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. So we see here that Israel had sent out 12 spies to spy out the land, to verify the land, that it was exactly what God had promised Israel, a land flowing with milk and honey. The 12 spies went out, but 10 of the 12 spies came back with fear, because there were giants in the land. And they spoke in a way that the people also feared to enter into the promise of God. And only 2 of those 12 spies said, "We were more than able to take it," because they believed God was more able to deliver the land into their hands. And those 2 were Joshua and Caleb. And Brother Branham said, "Our Joshua is the Holy Spirit." From the message, "As I was with Moses," he said, "God's word said that he would send in this last days 2 straight sermons now. I brought natural Israel and spiritual Israel together. And we're looking for the Joshua of this day, which is the Holy Spirit, to lead us to the land." And I think it's interesting that the name Caleb means one who barks like a dog. He was 90 years old when he entered the land. think about that. He was 90 years old when he entered the land. I think it's quite a coincidence that Brother Vail is in his 90th year this year. He turns 90, and he's 89, and he turned 90. So he's in his 90th year. And because, and I told Brother Vail years ago when he got his teeth all taken out, the new ones put in, I said, you know, Lee, it's funny. I said, you can just dumb him to death. Because it says, one who barks like a dog. I said, you're just like old Caleb. And back then I said, I thought Caleb was 80 years old. And I said, you know, it's interesting. Caleb was, because Lee was turning around 80 years old when he got him. And I said, you know, Lee, I said, Caleb was 80 years old when they entered in. He said, no, he said he was 90. Anyway, it's interesting that these things, the way they come together. Let's just turn back to Numbers 13, and we'll begin from verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And these were their names of the tribes of Reuben: Shammua, the son of Zachor. Of the tribe of Simeon, Saphat, the son of Hori. Of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Of the tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Joseph. Of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea, the son of Nun. Of the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, the son of Raphu. Of the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Zodi. Of the tribe of Joseph, namely, of the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi, the son of Susi. Of the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gamali. Of the tribe of Asher, Sether, the son of Michael. Of the tribe of Naphtali, Nabi, the son of Vophsi. Of the tribe of Gad, Juel, the son of Mekai. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. So his name was Oshea, and he called him Jehoshua. And the word Jehoshua means savior or deliverer. And as Brother Branham said, the name Joshua actually means Jehovah Savior. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. And he said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage. So they were commanded to be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first fruit grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoar in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. And the place was called the brook Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. Now the word 40 comes up here. All right, it's significant. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh. And they brought back word unto them and unto the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Now it's interesting that Moses had commanded them to go, and they went for 40 days. Because they didn't have to go. Moses didn't have to command them to go. They could have just gone in and taken the land. But notice, it was a setup. They were to be gone 40 days. They went 40 days. They saw that everything that God said was there. And yet, look what happens when they come back. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit thereof. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, and very great. And moreover, he saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are more than able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Now these people had followed a pillar of fire that had completely destroyed the armies of Egypt, which were the most powerful in the world. And they said, we be not able to take it. Knowing that God had already destroyed the greatest nation on earth, and these men countered or said, we are not able to do what God said we are able to do. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched under the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone out to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would to God that we had died in the wilderness, in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness. Now notice their prayer. Would to God that we die in this wilderness. And so God says, you're going to die in this wilderness. Because up to this point, they had only been gone 10 days, I believe it was, or not 10 days, but at the time that Moses sent them, they had been gone 10 days on their journey. Then he sent them into the land. They could have entered in the land. They could have entered in 50 days. What's 50? Jubilee. It's the entering in, right? All right, being set free. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us up into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. Now notice, they wanted to go back to Egypt. Brother Brown said, Egypt is a type of the worldly church. And that's the condition of the people today. Oh, to God that we could go back to the garlics and the leeks, to the Pentecostal revivals that we had. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were with them, that had searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. Notice, God's presence is with us. Now, do we not have the same situation in this hour? But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the Lord of hosts, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere that they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence, that's plagues, and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. In Psalm 95, I believe it is, it says that Moses stood in the breach. So we see on this time the breach took place. Then what happened? 40 years the people wandered. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou art among this people.
that thou, Lord, art among this people. In other words, your
presence is with us.
That thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that they, thy cloud standeth over them.
We have it. Right there.
And that thou goest before them by daytime in the pillar of cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. And we have the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire among us. Now, notice. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering, of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by means of clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. His seed, Caleb's seed. I think that's interesting. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow, turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and said unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmured against me? I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. Now notice where he gets the number 40 from. After the number of the days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said it, and I will surely do it. Unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness, they will be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which were with Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up the slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land, died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which are of the men that went to search the land, lived still. And Moses told those, saying, unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning, and gat them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and will go up into the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword. Because you have turned away from the Lord, therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up under the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites, which dwelt at that hill, and smote them, and discomfited them, even unto Hormah. So notice those ministers that did bring upon the evil report upon the land, they died by the plague before the Lord. Now, it has been 40 years, a wilderness journey. The pillar of fire has remained, and the breach was preached 40 years ago. I'd like to just share some of the things that have taken place. You know, we back in 96, we saw these things coming. And I'd just like to share, I've got a little mishmash this morning of things just to show you. We're going to talk about those 40 years as well. But let me just read this. This is from what's happening in Campbell County. Notice the headline. Northern Kentucky Health Department prepared for terrorist biological events. And when we preached on the end time plagues in 96, we had some people leave and they kind of mocked us and made fun of us and thought we were off a rocker. And yet, you get these postings from the local governments here. Just to show you that I believe that the Lord has been with us and showing us the way. Also, we have from the insurance company we just received here for this church, Acuity. On November 26, 2002, President Bush signed into law the Terrorism Risk Insurance Act of 2002. We have included a policyholder's disclosure notice of terrorism insurance coverage to provide you with information regarding this law. As indicated in the notice, the coverage included in your policy for losses caused by terrorism is changed. For any coverage which previously included a terrorism exclusion, certain acts as defined by the law are now covered. And then it goes on to give us the policy. This is policyholder disclosure notice of terrorism insurance coverage. So the church is now covered under terrorism, and there's an exception to terrorism exclusion for certified acts of terrorism. The cap on losses from certified acts of terrorism and things like that. So now all of a sudden our laws are changing. We've got all this homeland security stuff. The nation has changed. The way we do business has changed. The way you talk on the telephone has changed. The way you talk over email has changed. The things that you can say have changed. The things you can preach from the pulpits have changed. And basically everything has changed. And yet, those words were looked upon as quackery. And yet I've gotten from some of the places in South in Africa where they've got a lot of those plagues taking place. I got an email from a brother over there. He said, I really cherish the message that you preached on the end time plagues. He said, because I see them in our country. They're already here. A lot of things are changing. Did you know that March 15th, yesterday, 1984, the Senate voted down voluntary silent prayer in the public schools? Why is everything around the 15th, 16th, 17th March? Why are all these dates significant? I don't know. I'm just asking the question. We're seeing things happen, brother, sister. Brother Bram said, from as it was with Moses, he said, the Joshua of this day, which is the Holy Spirit, is to lead us to the land. From Revelation chapter 5, he said, now Lord, as we are quiet in ourselves, feeling that our great Joshua, the Holy Spirit, our divine leader of this day, as Joshua quieted the people before Moses and said we're more than able to take the land, because he was looking not at those Amalekites or Amorites, but he was looking at a divine promise that God had given them. And remember what Brother Branham said, the right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God will do what? It'll bring it to pass. From Israel, Kadesh Barnea, Brother Bram said, here they are standing at Kadesh Barnea. They said, go over. The land was given to us hundreds of years ago by God to our father. We are the seed of Abraham. God has led us safely this 40 some odd miles from Egypt. So they had left Egypt. They were some 40 some miles from Egypt up to the border of Kadesh. So here's another 40. Then Moses sent them over for 40 days. And then as a result of their unbelief, they wandered 40 years. 40 miles out of Egypt. 40 days searching the land. 40 years on probation. They got up there in a few days, but remember, because of their unbelief, it made them wander 40 years. Unbelief. Notice the church I'm speaking of. Parabolic speaking. What the old was, the new is, in a more magnified way what the natural was, the spiritual is. Now that's speaking of the present tense. The Alpha has become Omega. Now does that mean that there is something spiritual about this coincidence? Or is it a coincidence? Or do we believe in coincidences? I honestly don't know. I tell you the truth, I just don't know. But I do know that 40 speaks of a time of testing. Is it then possible that what is about to happen is to begin the great testing? Or is it the end of a testing? Or does it mean that the past 40 years of testing is about to end for the elect, and she will now be allowed to enter into the promise of God? Huh? From Christ, the mystery of God revealed, Brother Ransom, now notice, he was all right. He was in his day, Luther, and he had the revelation, but as soon as he left, look what they did. Wesley had a message, look what they did. The old Pentecostals had, and look what they did. They got a bunch of men together, just like exactly the same thing that God, by grace, sent Israel, a pillar of fire, a prophet, a sacrifice, and showed himself among them, and brought them out of Egypt across the Red Sea, and they wanted a law so that they could have great dignitaries. They could have something to do into it. And what did they do? They was left in the wilderness for 40 years to wander. And not one of their organizations ever went over. And Caleb and Joshua, the only two that stood out and said, we're able to take it. They said, look at the Word of God. Every one of them died in the wilderness. And Jesus said that they were eternally gone. Right. And after he had showed his blessings and power in their ages, like Luther and Wesley and so forth, did he? And said, our fathers eat manna in the wilderness. And he said, and they're everyone dead. That's eternal, separated from God. Their carcasses perish in the wilderness, see? They're dead. And the bread of life that comes from God out of heaven, they couldn't see it. They just couldn't see it. So we've been eating from the manna of God, the doctrine, and the people just couldn't see it. From Numbers 32 and verse 13, and the Lord anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all that generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. Now, I don't know of one old-timer left that was there in that group of Brother Branham that's still living today, except for Brother Vail, one who barks like a dog. Caleb. From the great warrior David, Brother Ram said, so there come a big fellow out, Goliath, 9'3" tall, great big fellow. He walked out and said, I'll make you a physician. Why all these men die? Said, send me a man over here and let me fight him. And if he kills me, we'll be your servants. And if I kill him, well, you'll be our servants. Sure, the enemy, when he's got the edge on you, he likes to boast and carry on like that. Oh, he gives a big boast. So every one of them, all them big degrees, they were shivering. They were scared of that fellow because he was a big man. So he boasted like that for 40 days. Notice, Goliath boasted, putting Israel to the test, not 39 days, not 38 days, 40 days. Did you ever notice that 40 is the number of temptation? Certainly, certainly is. Moses in the mountain for 40 days. He come back and was tempted. Jesus went into the wilderness 40 days and was tempted. 40 days of temptation. It rained 40 days and so forth. 40 is God's number of temptation. Testings, see? From spiritual adoption, Brother Brown said, and 3 is the number, is God's number of perfection. 7 is his number of worship. 50 is his number of jubilee. 40 is his number of temptation. And 3 is his number that he goes, that he chose to go up this day. Now, I do not know what it all means. I'll be honest with you. I have no more clue than you have. But the number 40 is very significant with God in the way that he has dealt with his people throughout the ages. And therefore, we must be, as Daniel was, very conscious of the time and the setting. From Isaiah chapter 30, verse 25. Let's just open our Bibles if we would. There's some very significant things that are said here. Isaiah 30, in reading from verse 25. And there shall be upon every high mountain and upon every high hill, rivers and streams of waters in the day of the great slaughter, when the towers fall. Now what does that bring into remembrance? It didn't say when the tower falls, but when the towers, plural, fall. The day of slaughter, when the towers fall. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as light as the light of the sun. And remember, the moon is what? It speaks of the bride. And so she will have the light of the sun. All right? Or she will be as the light of the sun. And the light of the sun shall be sevenfold. And didn't Brother Branham say that in this hour it is sevenfold times more wicked than any other age? Notice. And the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. And did we not have the full revelation of the seven church ages restored in this day? In the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of His people and healeth the stroke of their wound. So we're dealing with a day that is sevenfold, that is the same, the light is it says, as the light of 7 days. The seven church ages, the full illumination in this hour, in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of His people and healeth the stroke of their wound. Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with His anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and His tongue as a devouring fire, and His breath as an overflowing stream shall reach to the midst of the neck to sift the nations, or separate the nations with the sieve of vanity. If we haven't got the nations separated right now, you got this one against this one, against this one, against this one, and none of them want to come together. No big coalition. And there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. Now what's a bridle? It's basically not permitting them to speak, causing them to err. In other words, they can't say it like it was said. Brother Brown said, speak only what's on the tapes, and they won't do it. They won't do it. And what has that caused? It's caused the people to go into error. And ye shall have a song, as in the night, when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart, as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountains of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel, and the Lord shall cause His glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lightning down of His arm, with the indignation of His anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering and tempests and hailstones. For through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian, not Assyria, the country, but the Assyrian, speaking of Aman, and Assyria is modern day Baghdad. Look it up in your Bible dictionaries. It's modern day Baghdad. But notice, this war is against one man, the Assyrian, the mayor of Baghdad himself, as they call him. And it says, for through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with a rod. And notice this Assyrian, this king that smote with a rod, which is his scepter and his authority. And in every place where the grounded staff, and that word means the grounded staff is the appointed company led by a chief of staff. That speaks in army terms. The word grounded means appointed, and the word staff means chief of staff. A company led by a chief of staff shall pass, which the Lord shall lay upon him. And it shall be with the tabrets and harps, and in battles of shaking, the word shaking there is actually weapons, will he fight with. For Tophet, that the word Tophet means the place of fire, is ordained of old, yea, for the king. And notice it is because of one man, the king, it is prepared. He hath made it deep and large, the pile thereof is fire and much wood. The breath of the Lord, that's the word of the Lord, like a stream of brimstone doth kindle it. Now, granted, this is prophecy. Granted, it takes a prophet to really reveal prophecy, because there's many things said here that are almost in metaphor or in some type of code, if you want to call it that. I mean, it's you can say it means this, but does it really? We don't know. But there's sure enough things in that scripture there, talking about a breach, talking about a time where the light is as of 7 days, it's sevenfold, that the Lord will bind up the breach, in other words, to set His people free from the breach, and healeth the stroke of their wound, to sift the nations, to separate the nations, and to bridle the jaws of the people, causing them to err. And then it speaks of Assyria, Baghdad, a place of fire, all because of a king. Therefore, it could be here that the timing is right for war with Baghdad, because we have reached the 40-year end of an appointed breach. Because the voice of God bringing us out of spiritual Babylon and bringing it to an end concerning the elect, and now in the natural physical Babylon will physically be destroyed as well, showing the type of the breach is over. When the breach was preached, it began the seals, and the seals set us free from spiritual Babylon, from confusion, from denominationalism. Now physical Babylon is on the same dates. Could be. Again, I don't know, but it sure looks it. I received from Brother Ray Burfield from Australia some quotes from Bollinger's book on numbers and scriptures. I think you have it, Ron. I have the book. Anybody else have that book in here? It's called Numbers and Scripture. I have the book at home. And so after reading his email, I looked up these verses, or actually looked up what Bollinger had to say on the number 40. And he said, 40 has long been universally recognized as an important number, both on account of the frequency of occurrence and the uniformity of its association with a period of probation, trial, and chastisement. Not judgment like the number 9, which stands in connection with the punishment of enemies, but the chastisement of sons. 40 is the chastisement of sons, not enemies, and of a covenant people. It is the product of 5, which is what? Grace, and 8. And it points to the action of grace, 5, leading to and ending in revival and renewal. Now, what does the number 8 represent? A new day, correct? So it's a product of 5, which is grace and a new day. So the 40 then takes us from a probationary period, when the 40 is complete, takes us into an acceptance. God ends the probation. Now, what's probation used for? Testing. All right, now notice. This is certainly the case where the number 40 relates to a period of evident probation. But where it relates to enlarged dominion or to renewed or extended rule, then it does so in virtue of its factors of 4 and 10 and in harmony with their significance. All right. There are 15 such periods which appear on the surface of the Scripture and which may be thus classified. 40 years of probation and trial, Israel in the wilderness, Deuteronomy 8, verses 2 to 5, Psalm 95, verse 10, Acts 13, verse 18, the third 40 years of Moses' life. Notice Moses lived 120 years. The first 40, he was tried by God to see what he would do, whether he would be true to God or fall for the riches of Egypt. So there's a probationary period in Moses' life, 40 years. Then what happened after that 40 years? Moses went to the wilderness and God retrained him for how many years? 40 years. And through that 40 years, it was culminated when the pillar of fire came and said, "Now, Moses, I see that you're ready to take my people out." Notice, Moses was on probation another 40 years. And then when Moses was ready to do what God wanted him to do, the way God wanted him to do it, Moses brought Israel to a place of a 40-year probation. And so they wandered in the wilderness. The people themselves became on probation with God for another 40 years. Where they were 40 years, they were tried and tested. Then we see another 40 years for Israel from the time of the crucifixion, A.D. 30, to the destruction of Israel, 70 A.D. Notice, a time of probation for the people of Israel. There are many 40-year periods where the Scripture makes reference to Israel on probation. 40 years of probation by prosperity and deliverance and rest under Othniel, according to Judges 3, verse 11. Under Barak in Judges 5:31, and under Gideon in Judges 8:28. 40 years of probation by prosperity in enlarged dominion under David in 2 Samuel 5 and 4, under Solomon according to 1 Kings, and under Jeroboam, and under Jehoash, and under Joash in 2 Chronicles 24 and 1. 40 years of probation by humiliation and servitude, Israel under the Philistines according to Judges 13 and 1. Israel in the time of Eli, according to 1 Samuel 4 and 18, and Israel under Saul, according to Acts 13 and 21. And 40 years of probation by waiting, Moses in Egypt, according to Acts 7:23, and Moses in Midian, according to Acts 7 and 30. It was 40 years from 1906 Azusa Street meeting until the angel of God came on the scene in 1946 telling William Branham what the message was and giving him the gift. 40 years. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to be his wife. Genesis 25 and 20. Esau was 40 years old when he took to him two unbelievers for brides. Genesis 26 and 34. 40 years is the number of years that the children did eat manna in the wilderness. Exodus 16 verse 35, Nehemiah 9 and 21, and Amos 2 and 10. 40 years long was I grieved with his generation, God said in Psalm 95 and verse 10. 40 years, the presence of God was with the people of Israel, Deuteronomy 2 and 7. 40 years old was Joshua when he was sent to spy out the land of Canaan. He was 40 years old, Joshua. They were gone for 40 days, and then they wandered 40 years. 40 years, Israel rested from war under the hand of Othniel, son of Kenaz, Judges 3:11. Gideon ruled Israel for 40 years, Judges 8 and 28. 40 years Israel was delivered into the hand of the Philistines, Judges 3:13 and 1. 40 years Eli judged Israel, 1 Samuel 4:18. Ishbosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel, but he only reigned 2 years. But the house of Judah followed David, 2 Samuel 2 and 10. Saul reigned over Israel 40 years, Acts 13:21. David reigned over Israel 40 years, 1 Kings 2 and 11. Absalom stole the heart of Israel when David had reigned 40 years. Solomon ruled over Israel 40 years. Jehu reigned over Israel 40 years. Rehoboam reigned over Israel 40 years. Joash reigned over Israel 40 years. 40 years God scattered the people of Egypt. 40 was the age Moses was when he fled Egypt, forsaking the treasures of Egypt. Moses was in the desert for 40 years when the pillar of fire appeared in the bush. And Israel wandered in the desert with Moses for 40 years before God brought them out. That's Acts 7:36. Israel proved 40 years, was proved for 40 years, Hebrews 3 and 9. And God grieved those 40 years. Verse 17. In Deuteronomy 8 and verse 1, we read, "All the commandments which I command thee this day, you shall observe to do it, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the days which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee." See, time of probation. "To know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that they might make thee know that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. In Deuteronomy 29:5, "And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness, your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy feet." And in Joshua 5 and verse 6, "For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war which came out of Egypt were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers, that would give us the land that floweth with milk and honey." Now there's 8 instances of 40 days used in the scriptures. 40 days are the allotted to prepare the dead for embalming, according to Genesis 50, verses 1 to 3. They take 40 days to embalm the dead. And that's what they did with Joseph. 40 days it rained upon the earth in judgment upon the wickedness of man. Remember, it rained 40 days, 40 nights. 40 days, Moses in the Mount of God was there to receive the law of God. Then he came down, he saw what the people were doing, he lost his cool, he broke the commands of God. 40 days, Moses was again in the mountain after the sin of the golden calf. 40 days, the spies were in the land, issuing in the penalty against Israel of 40 years of wandering. 40 days of Elijah in Horeb. 40 days of Jonah preaching to Nineveh. 40 days Ezekiel laid on his right side to symbolize 40 years Judah's transgressions. 40 days Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. 40 days Jesus was seen of his disciples after his resurrection. Let me repeat that last one. 40 days Jesus was seen of his disciples after his resurrection. In 40 days, the Philistine Goliath taunted Israel. So we have a lot of 40s. But notice, when the 40 is done, the 40 stands for, as Bullinger said, as Brother Branham said, it's a time of testings, shaking off, dying out. The 40 years they wandered until all those that were over 20 at the time of Kadesh Barnea died. Then what? Then God took them in. What does it all mean? You tell me. 40 is significant. Daniel looked in the book. He saw the number of days in which God had said that Jerusalem would be controlled by Babylon. And when those numbers were fulfilled, Daniel got himself ready. The people of Israel got themselves ready. I believe we should be getting ourselves ready. I haven't any further to say on this, but I would like to read some other things here after we have a word of prayer. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your message to us this morning. We just pray, Lord, that we would truly look at the day and hour which we live. There's got to be some significance here, because we do not believe that you're a God of coincidences, but you're a God of fact, not a God of fiction. And so, Father, we just commit ourselves, Lord, to this time, this day. And we pray, Father, that through the week, that each day, we would listen to those sermons which were preached 40 years ago in our homes. Beginning tomorrow with God's only provide a place of worship in the morning, in the evening, the breach. On Monday, we could listen to the seals, the first one. On Tuesday, the second. On Wednesday, the third. On Thursday, the fourth. On Friday, the fifth. On Saturday, the sixth seal, and then on Sunday, the seventh seal, and the questions and answers. And Father, knowing that we're looking at this great time of deliverance, because 40 also speaks of deliverance. And so, Lord, we've been through our testings for 40 years. We pray, Father, that you would hold to being the same yesterday, today, and forever, which we know you are. And knowing that we've wandered for 40 years, Father, now we might enter the promise which you have given to us. And we stand, Lord, knowing that we're more than able to take it. And so, Father, let us take it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.